This is Mac Rebonix. You are tuned into the Hip Hop Digest Show. Keep it real. Keep it real. Keep it real. Keep it real.
I would like to see us move past to where you need the validation of the mainstream so much until we got away from liking ourselves.
The challenge, though, is still, once you get in that mainstream, to not become mainstreamed. That is to say, to remain your authentic self, to still make the community that produced you proud of you, to not, in the cultural vernacular, to become a sellout, 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 sellout.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Oh, there's a pause because there ain't no curtains in here today. But your man E Colors here. What's up, yo?
What's going on, fam?
I mean, Kurt took a day off.
Yeah, he did. No doubt. You know, Kurt a family man or whatever. His mom in town, his sister. So he went to spend time with his family. So we endorse that.
It's only right.
Indeed. No doubt.
Every time.
Indeed. No doubt. No doubt. So thank you for rolling with us. Back for another Hip Hop Digest. I'd like to thank all the new, at least we got at least one new member on the Hip Hop Digest text chain. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't find his name at some point in time. it will come up, I believe so, but we do want to welcome you to the Hip Hop Digest text chain. All right. So
yes, sir.
That was one of many things that I was supposed to do.
That's going to be Dat Boy Grav. That's one of DJ Q's family from Louisiana, I believe.
Oh, okay. That's what's up, man. So welcome to the Hip Hop Digest. Of course, you know, as I get an advanced age here, my memory is just shot.
He needs some new memory cards.
Damn, right?
We'll put Elon on you.
No doubt. But anyway, let's start the show. Proper. This is strictly straight and strictly from the text chain, and it comes from you, E Swervin. Hip hop question of the day, and it was so profound I couldn't even answer it. Okay, and I read it verbatim. He said, "With all that's happened in hip hop, commercialism, mumbles, age wars, pandering, divisions, etc., what keeps you connected to this genre of music?" It was really, that was a profound question, and I couldn't answer it. I couldn't answer because it wasn't. Now, the responses that you were getting, a lot of them was personal responses. People saying the music kept them out of trouble. Other people were saying the music chronicled their life. I mean, it's just really, really, you know, grown man talk, really profound answers. I couldn't answer that. Because for me,
you're still reaching. Yeah, I see it in your face.
Yeah, I'm reaching because, before hip hop, again, you got to remember we're old enough that at least at a minimum, 10 years of our lives, 10 to 12 years of our lives was pre hip hop, and even if you account for, let's say, you really start listening to music real proper at first grade or whatever, I mean, okay, I could say that. And then by the time, let's see, I was 12 years old or 12 years old when Rapper's Delight came out. I mean, but music was always a big deal for me anyway. So I just think when Rapper's Delight came out, and then really not, and I'm marking at it, Rapper's Delight, me personally, hearing a tape just called, I don't know if it was at the T Connection or not, live at the T Connection in 77, was just like, what the hell is that? Literally, that's, you know, as a 10-year-old, I'm like, that's not, you know, R&B. You know, that's not what the music was of the day, or disco, or any R&B. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, what keeps me connected now? What keeps me connected, I think, is still largely the things that, because I'm still in discovery mode. So there's a lot of rap that comes out, a lot of rap that I'll give a 30-second smell test to, 10-second smell test, and I'll go buy it. Boom, 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 boom. But I'm still in the discovery mode for the piece of music that makes me stop and want to re-listen to that. I'm still in that mode. I don't think I've ever left that mode. Specifically hip hop.
Specifically
hip hop. The journey that it has taken me. People tend to put hip hop into just one or two lanes, just generally. I think especially nowadays with, I still think commercial wise, most music sounds the same. But just like that musical journey since a 10-year-old, or let's say since Rapper's Delight, you know, people don't realize it's like Los Angeles, their first being contributing was not gangsta, you know?
No.
It was electro.
Electro, yeah.
It was electro. People just don't realize that, you know what I'm saying? That was Los Angeles's first offering. They had a huge electro scene in Los Angeles. And to hear that and to hear the difference between what was generally considered hip hop was absolutely awesome, you know?
Indeed.
The original Miami bass.
Yeah.
What a journey. You know, whether if it's MCADE or 2 Live Crew or Gucci Crew or any of these other folks that were strictly out of Miami and that movement, you know.
Yeah, because that shit was up-tempo as a mug, too.
Yo, definitely. And so it's the like one of the things that people tend to, at least for me, I guess I'm going through what makes me connected is still looking for that discovery. And I guess I could go through different scenes about hearing, you know, discovery. G-Funk, so talking about West Coast. I love G-Funk. There's a lot of people on the East Coast who didn't. I love G-Funk, you know, because of discovery, you know, the Parliament Funkadelic samples aside, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No doubt. Of course, I never forget one of my last times with my bull, you know what I'm saying? And really hearing Wu-Tang. And it's like, yo, if this ain't some new shit, I don't know what new is. You know what I mean? We put on that Method Man record and niggas was frozen. I wanted to answer that question on the show because I couldn't give a canned answer. You know, some of the stuff that people were saying, of course, kind of mimics my life. You know, I was too stuck on the vinyl and the wheels to want to be outside to be trying to sell some drugs. You know what I mean? I didn't care about that. I only cared about the wheels. And that's probably my second thing, too. The technology that comes along with hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, the technology.
All of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, a lot of people think I hate controllers or push button things, and I really don't, you know, but it's just incredible. All of that.
You just got to put it in its proper place.
Right. But all of that still largely stems from a lot of things that came out of the hip hop world. And of course, dance music at that, because I guess I'm just an overall music person, you know. So, to be totally honest, can I still answer that question? Like with a I don't think I can, because it's a lot of different, whole bunch of little spices and herbs and spices. You know what I mean? And I can easily, and I do that, discard what I think is tasteless. It's easy for me to do that.
We could always do that. No matter what genre of music, that's easy to do. That's easy.
Even though we cover so much of that, and we will on this show, I think it's important that we cover that.
Well, it's having a balance. Because I always said, if I'm going to talk about hip hop, then I'm going to pretty much need to know what I'm talking about. I won't always, because you know I can be fact checked on anything, but I just need to know what I'm talking about, especially if I'm talking to a younger person who thinks the music that I love is some old antiquated, not heard stuff anymore. I like to be able to hear what they're talking about is good, and also be able to tell them, or give them, not tell them, but give them some examples what has kept me embraced on hip hop for all this long. You know what I'm saying? And not step away and start soft shoeing or whatever. But I didn't answer it with text chain either, because I was actually, I asked the question because I got stuck. I was sitting on, literally sitting on the couch, mindless. I don't even know what was on or what I was doing, but it just hit me. Like, damn, all these years, we old heads, what keeps us attached to this music? So after reading a lot of the things people had to say, which again, I appreciate all of the answers, even the very short ones, you know who you are, the one sentence people, hey, that's what you're feeling, that's your feeling. But for me, like you said, we come from before pop, right? So listening to funk, listening to R&B, real R&B, like singing,
right?
Great music, not just I want to. What did I used to say?
Oh, I just want to put it in you.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they were saying that, but they were saying it a slick way. You know what I'm saying? Now let me just put it in you,
right?
But I listen to the stuff that we love still to this day, because I feel like I am actually, though I never, well, actually I did have a, you know, Brothers in Unity, we did kind of have music we made or whatever, but I am not a rapper and that kind of stuff. But not being a rapper is has nothing to do with being a part of hip hop.
No, no.
More hip hop than being a rapper.
No, that's right? The case. One of the things that I always think about in terms of what keeps people glued, I think about this. You, myself, Diff, One to Dial, DJ Q, T-Bear, shout out to Lawrence Weber, you know, homeboy from the town. I just, how many kids, and I'm saying kids, but how many of us, for whatever godly reason, are in our 50s, mid-50s, some of us getting ready to hit 60, but we still got two turntables in the mixer in our back rooms or in our basements or in our garages, somewhere, somehow, some way, whatever it was in hip-hop kept us stuck, not where we are, but it is where we are. You know what I'm saying? With two turntables in the mixer, and that goes for everybody. You know what I'm saying? That you know, shout out to anybody I missed. Even if you just rocking controllers, but it's still, you're still there. It's still right. Something about whatever it was about the mixer, whatever it was about the wheels or whatever MP3s, formats, waves, streaming. It doesn't matter at this point, you know. So,
yeah, even if you're a graffiti writer, even if you're a b-boy, b-girl, you know what I'm saying? It's hip-hop. It is what started this genre of music. And we were there. You know what I'm saying? It was like ours to call our own. From the beginning, it was ours, because we took from our parent what we loved and made it from us. All the samples we talked about, the Parliaments, the whoever, Luther Vandross, you was getting sampled, yo. And you gotta get turned into something else that fit what we considered great music of our own. So,
right?
Yeah,
right.
I think it's a great question, and I think I possibly answered it, but it's hard. Like you said, it is hard to answer because it is. I'm 59 this month coming up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I feel I'm not running around trying to be a young boy. You know, none of that kind of stuff. Talking to JC about it just this past week is like, you know, we still wear gear that is like hip hop, but we wear it in a style like of a grown man. Like when I'm doing my mixes here in the man cave, I don't care what I got on, t-shirt, whatever. But I'm out somewhere in these streets with a, you know, a sweater, a nice pair of slacks, shoes, whatever. I still love hip hop. Inside of me is hip hop, and it's always gonna be, yo. So I hope more people can answer it. It's still on there. Go ahead and answer that question. Still.
That's real. So I want to give a shout out to Zen Mecca, who I'm not going to read his thing, but he really framed it really, really well. And sort of kind of, you know, is coming down that runway of, you know, being in hip hop long enough, you know, to see so many different things change and so many different styles, and seeing people, you know what I'm saying, whether if it was Sir Mix-a-Lot to 8-Ball, you know what I'm saying, to, you know, shout out to Cleveland, everybody, you know, it's like, oh, Bone Thugs, that's what's up. But I'm like, MC Chill, that's what's up. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just, that's how I, you know, and that's a part of it too for me, is that I find myself now, you know, the guardian of the catalog, guardian of the history. You know what I mean? So,
well, you know that thing that somebody said a while back where it was like, I can show you porn, but I can't tell you what it is.
Oh, I forget, it was a senator. Yeah, he was like, yeah,
that was a big deal, right?
Right.
I don't think I can show people what hip hop is, yo. I don't think I can show them anymore, because brains are so diluted by what has been called hip hop that if, you know, somebody from the beginning was here to try to show somebody what it really is, even if you had like the, if we had a consensus dope ass record, hip hop record, that from the beginning through time, like we had like a four records, four different, I'll just say the four different eras, or even five out of the 50 years, just one record for every 10 years, like this pure hip hop, still can't make somebody understand what that is. That's sad to me, but it's there to see if people want to see it. You know what I mean?
Well, you know,
when somebody looks at porn, you know what porn is when you look at. But if I play It's Yours, somebody might be like, yeah, I don't know.
But I tell you what, every musical movement is going to go through that, though. Every musical movement is going to go through that.
You think so?
Yes. Every. Now, it's going to be funny how the current fair ages. That's going to be really interesting. I think, you know, again, I've always said that a lot of the movements have a shorter shelf life. And that's what happens, because you can establish rock and roll, or you can establish jazz. And those folks at the beginning, they're still, their name is still going to ring out. Miles Davis, no matter what, he's been gone a long time, but the name is still going to ring out as far as excellence. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we always give that example anyway. And I think that's the same in hip hop. I think that's what is going to shake out in the wash. You know, I mean, there's no doubt about it. A generation is going to love that Canadian. There's no doubt about that. Kirchy is so right. But, you know, will it shake out?
But how do they not like Method Man and Redman?
Well,
where's that disconnect?
Again, the disconnect is because they're not even really listening to the same. They're not even listening to the same thing. Mm-hmm. They're listening again. That's the, you know, the hear with your eyes, not with your ears thing.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're not even listening to the same thing. You know what I mean? It's funny.
Damn.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but now that you said it, I'm going to, and this is a two-piece Joe Budden's, but we could get through this pretty quickly. I would hate to be Joe Budden's. I know he's getting a bag. I know he's paid. And I get
you, it. You hear the size. You can see the bag with you hear the bag with your ears.
Yeah, I know, right? I know, right?
All the way around, you can see it.
But I would hate to be Joe Budden's, because, you know, I'm looking through stuff to talk about on the show, and it was a quick article talking about, amazingly, Joe Budden's defend Drake's new, like a 3-pack of records. I don't know if he gave them away or whatever, but it doesn't matter, because they played some clips, and I watched it long enough just because I wanted to hear the clips, really. And I was like, oh my goodness, I would hate to be that kid, because literally, I'm like, damn. You like that? Oh, Joe don't like that. Joe like it because that's his job. And now,
well, plus, you know, Joe's around with the kid, so he probably not being honest with himself, because we know the background.
Well, no, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, his job now is to, you know, to play out the full script. You go to war, you know, you denigrate, and then you put your arms around him. yo, I'm down with that kid. Yo, I think he's nice. Yo, I think, you know, I would hate to do that.
Well, for the bag, I guess you'd have to hate doing it, get that bag.
But that is, you got to look at that situation and his show. It's bag first.
Yeah.
It's bag first. So, you know, and that's what it is. He would be like, yeah, in bag first. It's always going to be the bag first. You can be the critic, but you broke. And he's right. I'm broke.
Yeah, compared to them, we ain't got nothing.
So,
and that's okay.
No doubt.
I can sleep very good tonight and not have to worry.
No doubt. I'm saying. So anyway, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest with the quick Joe Budden's two-pack. Damn, that didn't come out right.
Yeah, you sound like, what's that? I'll do it myself. What was that guy?
Who was that? Bill O'Reilly. Wasn't it Bill O'Reilly?
Sound like Bill O'Reilly just then. Yeah, it was Bill O'Reilly. You talking about some two-pack.
Yeah.
Two-pack Shakir.
LL Cool J, the next topic. LL Cool J defends Joe Budden's from Young Miami, mocking his plaque, Pump It Up. Pump It Up apparently just went gold, I guess, recently.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
And I don't even know who Young Miami is, but she poked fun at him going gold. You know, basically, dang, you just getting money. Type of shit, you know. She say here? It says more than 20 years later. And then LL Cool J basically jumped in to defend and was like, you know, I'm proud of him. You know, it was a great record, you know. And Joe Budden's is not broke by any stretch of the imagination.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? By any stretch of the imagination. Slim, you know, being on tour 4, 5, 6 years with Eminem alone. Okay. I think Young.
Actually, stop. It's taking that long to go gold, because it was in that movie, which should have been platinum being in that damn movie.
Yeah, I don't know how that paperwork really gets down like that. And then too, it's a type of record that gets played in arenas, you know, that part, you know, when he that pump it up, you know, to get the crowd pumped up in arenas and football games and shit like that. You know, so I'm kind of curious about that. But basically, and you said it. And again, in that thing, ageism, you know, where this young woman, and I don't know her, I don't know her fair. I'm sure it's just another bra and panty. I'm sure.
Recently, young Miami.
Yeah. Or something like that. You know, I can't.
One of them Diddy victims. I mean, you want to go TMZ, but wasn't she a Diddy victim?
I have no idea. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Somebody just else popping off in the front of a microphone and, you know. Joe Budden, regardless of what we think of him as a podcaster or whatever, journalist, hip hop journalist, the man has roots in hip hop, yo. Way deeper her so far career.
There's no doubt about that. But I just thought that was interesting to where it's like, wow, you know, an accomplished, you know, a gold record, you know, it's like, that's a big deal. I don't care if it happened 50 years later. That's a pretty, you know, that's a good feeling, you know. And
a lot of these young folks putting out music ain't on gold.
Well, yeah, I don't, again.
A lot of them. Is, look at them sales. Come on, bro. A whole lot of people can tag right now.
Oh, okay. I'm going through the article real quick. Apparently, she is from this city girl thing. Again, it's probably all bra and panty, you know, anyway.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Which, you know, good luck to ya. You know what I'm saying? Shit. Yeah, 2 years from now, Whole Foods is hiring and shit.
Oh, boy.
That's what L should have said. But,
well, I don't think to even say anything. People with substance understand.
Yeah, no doubt. So, all right, that's what's up. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, along with that, and this is, I'm just reading the headline, along with that, I guess she's probably was jumping on the bandwagon because it's Drake fans troll Joe Budden, Pump It Up Goes Gold after 21 years. So just okay. Reading ahead. Well, that's
some Drake fans. Okay. But he liked the record, though. He liked Drake record. Moving on.
Moving right along. We usually don't do this early in the show, but it was shocking because actually I just found out today. Rest in peace to Fat Man Scoop.
Yeah, man.
From Harlem, New York City, government name Isaac Freeman III. According to Wikipedia, they call him a hype man and a radio personality, which actually I guess that he was two things. My man JC called me, you know what I'm saying, and he live in Newark, and he said he was getting ready for work, and that Fat Man Scoop was on the radio just last week, talking about taking care of yourself, eating right or whatever, you know, the typical things, you know, as we should do as we get older or whatever, and that the fact that he passed away a week later, it's a tragedy. I say to anyone who believes, and as if you believe, that's why you got to have your relationship with God on point, because you never know. You know what I mean? If you don't believe, then, you know, no disrespect to you, you know, but that's
even you. But you said it best first, even outside of belief, you got to believe you're taking care of yourself, yo.
No doubt. No doubt.
You got to.
No doubt.
The way we are, set up in this country right now, as far as our community, all this fast food, all this we got 8 million gyms around the way. Ain't nobody doing that. We eating crazy. We not exercising. And this is definitely not a shot at brother. You know, I'm just saying all of us could do better with our health, especially at our age, because we reaching the fourth quarter, bro.
Indeed. So with all that being said, I guess he came really to prominence with the song Be Faithful featuring the Crooklyn Clan. That came out in 1999. And I was actually surprised to hear this. He had in an interview said that the song, you know, obviously had been a favorite around the world for years. But he said it took 2 years to clear the samples from Jay-Z, Black Sheep, Queen Penn, The Beatnuts, and Faith Evans.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you why I was surprised at that. I was surprised at that because it was on AV8 Records. And AV8 Records was just, I just thought they were just like party starters, hype records, just filled with, you know, cuts and different people saying different things. Yeah. It just, over the popular tracks of the day, they could have been a DMX track, could have been a Faith track, could have been a Jay-Z, didn't matter. They're gonna, you know what I'm saying, just put all the, and his voice, you know, Fat Man Scoop and Crooklyn Clan, you know, and his voice along with that. So I'm thinking to myself, damn, clearing, when I read that, I was shocked. I'm like, I thought AV8 was too little to sue, you know what I mean? Why clear? I'm on AV8. Ain't nobody gonna know nothing.
But that record, you know what I'm saying? Those records were not, so.
Well, no doubt, it did reach number one in London. You know, that was the number one record over there, you know what I mean? And that's a big deal, you know? So I guess he had to cover, you know, you know, by getting the samples actually cleared. But wow, I was surprised at that. I'm thinking, damn, clearing samples on AV8 Records?
Yeah, I know, right? And let me throw this at you too about that, because, you know, as we got the news, I'm thinking and all that stuff, and I'm like, wow. So I try to think of his peers. First one comes to mind is what's the DJ from DC?
DJ Cool?
DJ Cool comes to mind. Who else? It was that makes that kind of music, that party hype stuff. DJs, travels.
That's interesting. If I had to think of a peer, I think maybe Big Cap, rest in peace as well.
Cap, yeah, Big Cap, yeah.
I would say Big Cap. Wow, that's a good question. I don't know if I'd put DJ Cool into that.
I don't think so with records.
He had a very distinct voice, though, no doubt about it.
No. And DJing is his DJ because he goes around the stadiums playing music. I've seen him.
Myself. Oh, yeah, no doubt. Then in that case, not as much as a hype man as he would. I mean, but you would have to put Kid Capri in that as well. Because, again, Kid Capri. A lot of his mixtapes, on that. Doo-wop be another one.
Yeah.
You talk about peers in that arena.
Yeah, in that arena, yo. Because that's a little niche, little spot.
Oh, it's a great spot to be in. There are artists who are now, I think that comes to mind was like D Nice is like one of the, it's like an artist that turned into like a full-time DJ. And now I think Lil Jon was another one who fills that space because of his distinct voice, and he gets behind the wheels because of his voice. You know what I mean? Fat Man Scoop had a very distinct party hype voice.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Yeah, that's interesting too. Let's throw that out on the text chain. Y'all tell us about any peers.
I don't know. You know, there are certainly people. I can't think of his name because he passed away.
Oh my goodness! My man was doing the mixtapes.
K-Slay.
200 K-Slay.
K-Slay. Yes. K-Slay. I think you could throw in there. Yeah. Although K-Slay. You know, he's a real OG. K-Slay, real OG and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? You know, rest in peace to him. I know he used to be constantly when he was on the satellites, straight stunting magazine. I know he's definitely on that. Crazy, no doubt. So, along with that, I was pulling out my AV-8s and whatnot, and I was actually surprised. The AV-8s, I didn't buy as many party records as I thought I had, although they came in other bootleg versions of those records. Mm-hmm. But AV-8 actually had a good bevy of underground, like just pure like rap records. This is pretty interesting. So, you vinyl heads out there, I don't know. I mean. Yeah, I know, with the exception of DJ Q, I already know what's up, boss. You probably got your AV-8 thick.
And shout out to my man, the Dow. There's going to be a trip to Charlotte soon, brother. Not real soon, because I got some other business to take care of, but I'm going to be out there soon. I ain't going to take all of them, bro. I'm just going to take a few records and leave you with the rest.
Oh, when the Dow, he need the space. He probably need his space.
I'm gonna just go ahead and take a few things. You have a rest.
All right, that's what's up. So, all right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is. So, I see you still, reasonably you swerving, posting mixes and. You doing your thing or whatever. I'm checking in with you because I was just curious, how close are you to the Pioneer? After you sent me a cat of unboxing, this is a pet peeve of mine because I'm a gear slut. Unboxing these 1200s with this Lamborghini shit. And I'm like, yo, this shit is corny. You know what I mean?
I had to say that.
Lamborghini turntables, Gucci, Burberry. You know what I mean? That shit is corny.
You know what that's for. Actually, I don't even know what that's for because nobody's rocking with those at the clubs. They rocking with them. Are they using turntables like 1200 shit in clubs now?
No, I don't think any clubs.
Controllers and shit.
No, I think most clubs are. First of all, I don't even think most clubs is doing controllers. I think the industry standard is the CDJs. Not you can't even put CDs in them anymore. The top clubs, and this is just house. I'm just saying. Uses the CDJs. You come in with your USB Jones and you stick them in. You ain't even using Soretto or the Pioneer record box. So, but I don't know.
So for real, that was kind of a little bit of comedy, because it's like, why? Who cares about? Basically, it's a skin. It's a skin.
No, I get it.
It's still a 1200. But it's a skin.
But I guess I want to know, other than like personal skin. Now, there are some skins, like I seen a long time ago, maybe like 8-10 years ago, these kids who did a custom job for Jazzy Jeff in the Philadelphia Phillies colors on his 1200s. Mm. That was so dope. Wow. You know what I'm saying? But that was a one-off, and that was an individual. I don't know about this other shit. And I know people customize their gear. I was never a fan of like this gold turntable shit they used to do. Can't stand gold turntables and shit, yo. It drives me nuts. Just a pet peeve. But anyway, but back to the original question. I'm on a tangent here, going somewhere with this. Okay. Back to the original question. How close are you to the Pioneer goal?
I'm going to say a few months away, because, you know, I got a couple of things.
Oh, no, I mean, in relationship to other things or whatever.
It could be a good Christmas. Let's just say that. It could be a very good Christmas.
Yeah, I've seen a couple out there even already in the used market. Probably just store demos and things of that nature. Oh, yeah, wow. I've seen a few things. But I
know what that's on.
Huh?
Webb got them joints.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he sent me a video. But that's not surprising, because as we was coming up, Webb always had that new shit first.
Yeah, so, he got it. Yeah, I told him, I'm next, bruh.
So, no doubt. So, that's what's up, yo. No doubt. No doubt. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is some more YoungBoy hijinks. How important is this? Because it's not important. I know you're going to say it's not important, but we're just speculating here. I would love to have a YoungBoy on the show. DJ Academics doubles down on a rumor that NBA YoungBoy made $100 million last year. Now, that's really not important. That's almost like a misdirection. You see the thing, $100 million NBA YoungBoy. I don't care what he's doubling down. There ain't nobody with good sense giving that mofo $100 million. Why is it important? You know, because he's not announcing that he made a stock portfolio bet and it paid off to the handsome, you know, maybe like a Nas or a Hov. Or maybe like a Nas or a Hov. Or even like a Rick Ross, where he announces like property holdings, a new property, a new property, a new property. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? People are like, yo, nigga, you buying all this land. Fuck land, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You should be in that new Phantom. And Rick Ross is not a dumb guy.
Clearly not.
You know what I mean? Why is that important?
Why is it important?
Why is it important?
It's important. It, as if it in fact is true, that's an amazing feat. I don't care who you are. $100 million is a fucking whole lot of money. All right? So if it's in fact true that that young man got that bread, then hey, golf clap for him for sure. But if it's not legit, and they're all looking like clowns for saying that, for hyping it, whatever, you're looking like clowns. Again, is it? Do we know if it's from music? Do we know if it's from investments? So, you know, because I don't think too many people getting $100 million off of music. You got to be in the NFL or NBA to get that kind of bread.
So according to, and I'll just read this really quickly. According to him, he was like, he sold a part of his catalog, then the small portion that he owns with Atlantic. He signed to what was like a deal between $40 and $60 million with Capital. I don't know about that. I don't think any of that stuff can really be verified. You know what this reminds me of? Remember a long time ago when we played that clip on the show, and they was like, what do you think about Baby from Cash Money saying that Lil Wayne has more money than Jay-Z? And Jay-Z's at the station. And Jay-Z was like, you know what I'm saying? You know, you can see my bank account. I'll let you get a little glimpse. and was laughing, was really having fun with it, because again, it's one of these bombastic things that guys like academics have to do. Yeah. They got it. They have no other choice.
Crazy number though, B. He picked the crazy ass number to throw out there.
B, but he's got to do it. He has no other choice. What are you going to say? NBA Youngboy actually just made $5 to $7 million. I'm not saying he ain't making millions.
I mean, that's still a great thing. Shit. But I mean, goddamn, you looking at that? I mean, 100 million, but it's 700 million or 7 million more than I have right now. You know what I'm saying?
B, I get it, but it is important for him to be so bombastic. It is important for, forget about NBA Youngboy. He really didn't have anything to do with that. It's just a personality saying, what can I say that's going to make people stop and at least read it for a second? The NBA Youngboy made him $100 million. And he sold his catalog. He got $60 million from Capital. You know, really? Word? There's no.
I'm going to need to see his catalog. Yeah. I'm going to need to see what music is made to warrant that kind of payday. I'm dead ass serious. We're talking about Joe Budden, who made a record, that one record that to this day can get played and rock almost anywhere.
Right, of course.
I can't name you one NBA Youngboy song right now. Not to say, it's just me though. You know what I'm saying? Because it all sounds the same. I might have heard it and didn't know it was him, but I'm just saying, it's hard for my mind to wrap around somebody in this current situation to get that kind. They got to show me, though. Show me.
Well, again, that's why ultimately I'm saying it wasn't important. It wasn't, that statement wasn't meant to get paperwork to show the general public. It was a news day that academics was like, I got to say something crazy.
It's the internet, though, B. I mean, he's one of the kings of doing that shit, but it's the internet, man. You know, it don't take academic to say some crazy shit on the internet.
All right. Yeah, that's right.
So in that case, it ain't important.
That's what
everybody puts a fucking, even my mixes, I try to think of a fucking nice tag or something to put on so people, even if they don't give a fuck about the mix, maybe my tag is funny. Check it out just for that. But everybody has to, you have to catch attention on the internet. Otherwise, you're just there. You're just a piece of dust. The internet is vast, B. Vast. I know you use it for a whole different situation, so you don't.
Well, no, it is. I mean, you know, just listen to what you say. You just like, you know, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, you're just a piece of dust, and I'm caught. Yeah. That micron filter heavy. I'm dust.
Sir. Yes, sir. So, yep.
All right, no doubt. All right, let me rock. The next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is this name we haven't, a commercial rap name we haven't talked about in quite some time. Nicki Minaj blast rappers who signed to, and get it, here we go, white owned record labels.
Really? Oh, okay.
So she has her own.
Interesting.
She has her own label, heavy on it. Okay. She goes off on a tirade. Mofos want to tell me they don't want to sign the heavy on it. But she said, but then they'll go and sign the white people's. I guess who and white people's who they finna gonna call, you know, when they trying to get their money. Nicki Minaj pulling out the race card on the labels. I don't know what kind of money she putting in a heavy on it. I'm thinking maybe she thinks, you know, there's a lot of bra and panty out there. She can get some money off of it. And if in fact that's what she's aiming for. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
I
want to know who she's trying to sign. I want to know what her label is about. I want to know all that kind of stuff, because that could be a factor too.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. A lot of this bra and panty stuff is difficult for me to follow, because obviously it's not my age group, no doubt. You know, this Ice Spice and some of these other broads or whatever. You know, I'm thinking that she probably feels like, you know, they grew up on her. Now she got a label. You could bring the talent and keep it all like family. You know, they grew up under her, you know. It's hard for me. Yeah, it's hard to know the politics of the bra and panty game. It really is.
Yeah, I can't call it at all, but it's the entire. I would venture to say it's not just her. People look at. All right, let's look at the history of African American music labels. Let's look at the history of them, the successful ones.
Okay.
You got No Limit. I'm just name a few.
Just a few
prominent ones.
Right. No. Okay.
No Limit.
Right.
Death Row, Def Jam. And you want to throw another one in there? One of them Southern Boys. Another. Want to throw anybody else in there?
Let's see here.
It's okay. It's okay.
Okay, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So we had those labels who were super prominent, but just like the big labels above them, they fuck you. They do it.
Right, yeah, right.
And I guess some of these folks are saying, if I'm going to get fucked, I'm going to get fucked for this much money way up here that you can't afford to give me. And if that's what, you know, as I've said, everybody, including yourself, sir, has a price. We don't know what that price is until we're confronted with it. But if you know what your price is, this person is offering you this, when you know you can get double, quadruple that shit, why are you... Looking at the history, because where is Death Row Records? It's with Snoop, but it's in disarray. Dr. Dre's label, Aftermath. Where's the music? Where's the artist? Def Jam. Again, we know the history of that. Bad Boy. Mm. We know the history. Mm. So I think that a lot of times, as I just said, I think that people are like, yeah, I'm not fucking with that black shit. And they really should, because we need more. We need more labels. We need more Motowns. We need more Def Jams.
But I don't think that the economics of running a record label, I don't know, today would be totally different than yesteryear. But even then, the economics of running the labels are pretty much the same across the board here. Barry Gordy didn't like when he had to pay people.
Of course.
Guys like Rick James. I mean, who basically saved the company, but Barry Gordy had to cut some righteous checks, you know?
Yep.
The struggle to, and it's a great article if you can find one. The people who write on that, really the knowledge, the contract negotiations with Joe Jackson and Barry Gordy off the Jackson 5 before they went the Delicious. Epic. Yeah, oh my goodness. Joe Jackson was like, yo, son, I'm going to tell you, we going to get the money.
Yep.
Well, I mean, we going
to. And so that then to this now. You might want to sign one of Nikki because she's industry. She's in, got the nose. Business.
But will the economics so what people are finding out the economics of the record industry, and this is discussed on this show a lot, the economics is that, okay, here we go, we'll sign you a Nicki Minaj label. She's talking about, and I'm talking about the race card, okay, I'm coming to you because you black owned, okay, I'm gonna need that budget. Okay, and the stuff that they used to have to pay for, like recording budgets and advertising budgets. I mean, you know, I don't know. Like you said, Nicki Minaj's name alone carries a lot of weight on the streaming and under her platform.
Yeah, but she don't carry no weight when UMG is like, we don't want her shit played on your shit at all, you ain't getting none of our artists.
And that's where YouTube and Spotify, they're strictly profit driven. And you're right. If the big boy came in and was like, shut it off.
Yeah.
Well, I played it yesterday and this morning it was erased. You got to deal with that. So let's end this out with this question. Is there a benefit to go with an African-American owned label. But about today, I mean, they're talking about, I don't know how true that is, that Kendrick's got like one more record or his last record, or maybe he's already fulfilled his TDE contract, you know, and where Kendrick gonna end up, wherever he ends up, obviously somebody's gonna sign him to a ridiculous amount of money. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But that was all black owned and is an all black owned label.
But he may possibly leave that black owned label that he was partially responsible for blowing up.
Yeah, well, he is, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So to answer your question real quick, I'll try to do it quickly because it's yes and no is the answer.
Okay.
Yes, if you want to build and break the cycle of only going to those other labels. Yes. But for all of the shit I said before, no. It's just in with whatever lies in your heart is what you gotta live with when you go do that. Because you're gonna get fucked either way. It's just how fucked are you trying to get.
Right. Got you. All right, next topic on Hip Hop Digest is this Rolling Stone article about the demise of Craig Mack, which is a pretty, it's a tragic story. It really is a tragic story of what happened to Craig Mack. And you talk about black-owned labels, you know what I mean?
Yep.
The revelations about Combs from day one is pretty indicting, but we're not going to concentrate on Combs. And talk about the tragedy and the fact that Craig Mack, his last days, was in a religious cult, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But had enough sense to know that I guess he considered Combs, Bad Boy, the whole situation to really be something that was detrimental to his life. And he didn't want absolutely anything to do with them. People like Gene Deal and DJ Scratch, I was the only famous person there. It was just me and then the rest of the religious cult at his service. You know, allegedly Diddy wanted to pay for the service, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. The part about Craig Mack, which I thought is the most interesting, wanting to kill Combs.
I'm sure a bunch of people did.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and you know, you can expand that. You listen to the Lox interviews from back then.
They were
deadly serious about if we could ever even get close to him at any point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's going to be some laying down.
Yep.
Yeah, they were serious. But any case, when they talk about the
very situation.
Right. And they really were talking, and Craig Mack himself talks about, you know, possibly getting the meeting and going to the meeting and figuring that Combs is going to try and get him first. So I'm bringing my man and we're ready, you know. And I'm like, wow.
I saw that. I actually saw that interview when he was speaking on that stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But if you, and for a point of reference, if you can find that video when Combs, Big, and Matt.
Oh, on MTV.
Yeah, you ever find that interview, words don't need to be said. You could see it. You could see it at that time how it was. But we didn't know. We weren't privy until obviously later. But to see that video is like, yo, he was getting it bad. You know what I'm saying?
And I tell you,
he was the star of Bad Boy, wasn't he?
So, first of all, you got to remember, and it's a great story told by Gene Deal, and it is so true. People forget, you know, Craig Mack, first artist on Bad Boy, Flavor in Your Ear comes out. I never forget. Yeah. I bought that at Tower Records in Rockville back when they was on the other end of the plaza. But anyway, y'all died. Oh, yeah, that's how long ago that was, or whatever. And I remember buying that record. They was playing Nirvana, never mind on the system, Crunk, too. But I digress. So I'm buying the record. Flavor in Your Ear blows up. It's the remix and Biggie's performance on the remix. And Gene Deal was like, that's what started Biggie to blow. His performance, wow, because they put him first, you know. Yeah. And then, of course, for decades, people have was like, well, Big dissed them. You know, I got more Mackin in the bed. And believe me, I got the, you know, that type of thing. You know,
might have been shit going on that we didn't know about.
Well, no doubt. I mean, I think that they were probably competition in terms of being MCs anyway. And the fact that Craig jumped out there, you know, with a decent album. And of course, you know, Flavor in Your Ears is nuts, you know. So you got that specter. And then the specter of his personal life, you know what I'm saying? It was just nuts. I mean, his wife, you know, the infidelities and just, oh, you know, and ultimately, you know, dying of AIDS, which to me was kind of inconsequential, but he didn't have to, considering when he died, the medicines were there for him to, you know.
But because of the religious,
right,
they wasn't doing
it. Right, exactly. Had him off that. So, which is such a tragedy.
He got himself off that because he subscribed to that.
No doubt, but I'm saying it's still such a tragedy in the fact that he didn't have. I mean, first of all, that can happen to anybody. Anybody can get gaffled. Anybody can get gaffled or whatever. And he didn't really have, you know, close friends or family to really pull him out of that. But I just think that the stress of his life and the distress of his music career just really, really played a huge role in that.
And, oh, absolutely. And the label that he was on.
Oh, I tell you
had what. Had major thing to do with that.
I tell you what. I tell you. That Bad Boy roster, man, just looks like 50 miles of bad road.
You still want to sign with Nicki Minaj?
Huh?
And you still want to sign with Nicki Minaj? I'm just saying, yo. Your boys, long time ago, 1880, is it industry rule 1580? What was it?
Industry rule 4080, record companies 4080. Are shady.
Yes.
Yeah, something like 80. That.
All of them are shady. All of them. So, again, how much of yourself are you willing to give to get what you want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man. That's another sad tale in hip hop, because obviously he had the ability to make hit records, but he got pushed to the side. I don't understand why your boy Sean couldn't just use it all. This is your label. Get all that shit out there.
Well, what it goes to show you is how, I'm not going to say gangster. Somebody would use the word gangster, but it goes to show you how, I don't even know the right adjective to put, how he at that point in the earliest days thought that, and maybe that's because that's how he was taught. Maybe it's because that's how he was taught. Maybe Andre Harrell taught him that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe Clive Davis taught him that. You know, that you just bulldoze artists and contracts. You know?
And that's what he did. All of the contracts that were ever with Bad Boy.
Right.
All of them.
Right.
And some of the worst.
Right. And then the thing about that, too, and everybody, again, this kid Gene Deal really sounds like a guy who's in the know. I listened to a lot of his interviews. He's like, yo, you know, even Biggie's contract was towed down.
Yeah.
And him and Lance Un Rivera had a deal at the Capitol, apparently, for, you know, something like $60 million. He's bringing himself. He's bringing Lil C's. He's bringing Junior Mafia. He's bringing Kim. He was like, he could have brought all of those people over to Bad Boy. And why? How come he didn't? And it made you think about that. I wasn't really thinking about that, but I was like, wow. He was like, he didn't bring none of them.
Dirty game. Dirty game. All along. It's unfortunate, but we can't just blame Bad Boy.
No.
Like I named quite a few, Rap-A-Lot.
Yeah. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about it. I mean, and then, you know, and again, to what it takes to run the label and how if you don't have a particular bread-winning label a la Rockefeller, you know, the reality was that Jay-Z was the only one keeping the lights on at the label. You know, because Beans Beans didn't really sell. A lot of kids from Philly didn't sell. I think that those Harlem kids, Jimmy and them, were overhyped, and they really weren't sell. Hov was the only one keeping the lights on, and shit, he knew it. He was like, "Yeah, it's time for me to get out." But we won't get into that. You know.
No, what I will tell you real quick though, I just looked at the side where the side of your head. You turn around, you can see that Craig Mack sticker right there above your monitor. I'm like, right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, rest in peace to that brother. And
Indeed. God,
sorry you had that kind of life, man.
Indeed. It is actually a very interesting. I'll tell you what, man. Wow, that would be one hell of a book if I was a writer. And that goes all the way probably pre-Motown maybe or whatever, but I mean, you get the real, like, lock, stock, and barrel 100%. Now, white investors certainly always bought into these labels anyway. Def Jam.
Of course.
Well, you could call Def Jam, but even though that was Rick Rubin's label, Russell came in second, if you want to be technical about it. But all that being said, but man, what a book that would be, even if you just started with rap labels owned by African Americans and what happened.
Hey, Dan Charnas, you listening?
You know what I'm saying? That would be a very interesting label, because I'm thinking some of the, like, I'm thinking about Four from Broadway that was owned by First Priority, which was owned by Milk D's dad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yep. Milk D's dad owned a First Priority. Audio 2, MC Light, wow. Positive K, all those people all on that. The Alliance, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That was a wholly owned African American. Now, they had distribution through Atlantic Records. Maybe once they got the distribution, they was like, look, we're going to put some cash in your front pocket. Niggas, stand back. You know, who knows?
Flavor Unit was a label too, right? Flavor Unit.
I thought Flavor Unit was more of a production deal. Okay. Mark the 45 King, Queen Latifah, Lakim and them. I'm not really sure, but again, it would be interesting from an African American perspective. I'm talking about at least the inception of the labels, black owned, and what kind of happened to them, you know?
Wow.
A lot of people would say, like, you were getting label deals where, like, they were like just imprints or just glorified A&Rs with an imprint.
Right. Right.
You know, you were getting a lot of that. You know, Russell did that. When he gave all those people, he gave Prince Paul Doodoo Man. He gave Chuck D Pro Division. All those Russ Associated labels. These other people. I can only think of the Chuck D and the Prince Paul.
That was his way of keeping his hand in the business, keeping his hand in your pocket.
But he had given all of those guys like small label things or whatever.
Yeah.
Nothing really came out of that, but it's very interesting. Be a great, great book.
One already. But that out.
Indeed, no doubt. So anyway, before we get out of here, I still just want to update everybody. Swervin, Kurt G, I'm putting you on notice if you haven't been doing it, is to do research for the next generation of Mount Rushmore producers.
Okay.
A lot of names, you know, everybody is saying.
It gets cooler as we go closer to today's time too.
People are gonna drop off if they don't meet a time criteria. You know, and people are obviously with the next generation, just like, wow, you know, after the Molly Mall, after, you know, I still think it would be a little, but maybe I could be wrong. Maybe that's when the big class, you know, what I would call a big class, comes in where you come in with the Dre, the Dre, and the Preem.
Don't throw those names out there.
Okay.
Everybody got to do their research.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Even the text chain. Look, matter of fact, I want to get this right. Even the text chain, we have one class, the first class. Okay. Then we got the second class. And, you know, I'll post names on the text chain. What's the third class? Pete starts submitting names. I want to get this right. You know what I mean? I want to get it right. So.
Because this one, me, I'm thinking a lot of names going to get thrown in there. We got to whittle. We got to whittle like a mug.
Oh, B, this is Rushmore. That's where, look, when you don't, look, when you don't do your research and you mess up, that's how you end up with Vaughn Mason instead of the people who should have been in there, Arthur Baker.
All good.
You know what I mean? You know, I messed that up.
And you fixed it. So
I tried to fix it, indeed, no doubt. So anyway, yeah, this has just been a two-man show. Hopefully we can get
we got no records week.
No, we don't got no records of the week or whatever. That's all locked up in Kurt G's thing. But anyway, I'm going to give a shout out to Matt and Peter, who keep the text chain in fresh new music. If you really don't come to the text chain for nothing else, you know, if you just want to know what's up with the new underground, Pete and Matt keep it stocked. So, you know, if you ain't doing nothing else, you know what I mean?
Every Friday.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So shout to them and whatnot. I was glad to see Easy Bake repost a little bit. You know, welcome, brother. Welcome back. Good. I hadn't heard from you in a minute. You know what I mean? And that type of thing. Yeah. I guess I want to say that's it. I'm pretty sure that's it. But let me repeat. I'm going to post the first class and the second class of Rushmore's, and we're at the next class to go in for producers, and it's going to be tough. Going to be tough.
This one, I can imagine, it's going to be tough, bro. This was a real good time in hip-hop right here that we in now. Not that none of us work, but right now is when them horizons start to expand with all different kind of stuff popping.
Indeed, that's what's up.
It's got to be for more than one goddamn round, too. Got to be consistent.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. So that's what's up. Yeah. So anyway, that's what's good. Next week, I think we should all be in the house, I believe. I think we could get two in a row. I'm going to be out in Las Vegas soon.
Yes, sir. Viva.
So hopefully we can get a show from out there, too. You know what I mean?
You know, we still got the goods. You still got the good here in the man cave. So I just pull the joint out and get it in still.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, kid. That's what's up. Thank you for rolling with us, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Shout out, Kurt G.
Peace.
Dikembe. We're taking it back to the raw. The harder they ball, the harder they fall. So what are the odds you lost? Ambassador's been fought since 94. The African attack. Yes, it will come up in my pimp. But tell me, Kokoda. Let me translate. You can't beat with us. Shout out Kenan. Shout out Nashad. Shout out Aneka. Shout out Baloji Sako. They get representing Accra. You coming against the future. Do what's futile. I salute you. Cause I'm waving a finger at you.
No, Dikembe.
Father, forget these sinners. They know not that they finished. We represent the realness, so y'all could keep the gimmicks. Took us a minute to get it started. Now it's autopilot. West African flows, you're forced to close your eyelids. And imagine, I rhyme nonstop, Mount Rushmore. Forcing dead presidents to rock my tongue, sharper than a guillotine. My verbs are stay slicing. Evander Holyfield, guard your ears, Mike Tyson. Spitting at these slangs, watch them touch down in Africa, get snatched for their chains. Cause we bought your bootlegs and return it to the store like I can't get jiggy with these. Where's the player hater that sold it? Meanwhile, I'm in Morocco, pen another classic for the masses. The new chin in which champion, get your glasses. So however clever your plan of attack, you better react. I'm spitting it back, I'm waving a finger at you.
No, Dikembe.
You're over in the game. time, you have to call your neighbor's name out. Gaming don't deserve to be a player.
So you can drop back to bishop to c2 if necessary, knight bd7, protect the pawn on e5, castle, and now takes on d5 first, takes back, and now castle, castle, rook to e1, rook to e8. So let's hold on for a moment and see what happened here.
What's good, bro? Let's play a game. All the pieces are set. Kings and queens will connect long as Jesus sees the regrets.
Breathe and stretch. I see no reason to be vexed. They dealing with seasoned vets who play the game just like it's chess.
Spin Hoover dudes in Super Bowl circles like hookah hoops. Snake slither in diagonals like Bishop, the movie Juice.
I say when things get slanted, it's time for a king's gambit. The man in the high castle demands it just fly rampant.
I was born with a few weapons. I've been gone with a few legends. I've been black and white for life. These pussy pawns are two-stepping.
See, for the record, I see these rappers as delicate. Difference between a king and a pawn is clearly relevant.
That's why we kick it, we electives. J and Dame out for breakfast, aim reckless. Sick of the same records, the same checkers.
And all I see is squares, this game is just like Tetris. So watch me dissect it, analyze it like some metrics.
I'm moving my piece, now you're moving your piece.
We on offensive for the homies in the trenches. Don't try to test me, play you like a chess piece. One false move, I promise it's getting deadly.
I'm moving my piece, now you're moving your piece.
We on offensive for the homies in the trenches. Don't try to test me, play you like a chess piece. One false move, I promise it's getting deadly.
I smell cooks looking for sales, shook crooks turning the tails. We keep the good looks for the straight rook knights burning from L's.
Birthing this hell, I should have been dead or jail. I've been destined to fail, don't give a fuck my record sales.
Liquor and wine, I'm painting shit up and spitting the primer. Sick of designer rhyme, chess life and hitting the timer.
Watch my queen run the board while I'm facing on a swisher. Look, nothing differs, Bobby Krill's or Bobby Fischer.
Grandmaster, Jam Master J, Cash Flash. Ask about me in the world, I'm the last to be ever after.
Happily I'm getting badder, actually that's all that matters. Level pockets getting fatter, I happily choose the ladder.
I got steps, I'm climbing up, you got necks, I'm signing up. Diamonds in the rough, these new game pieces don't rhyme enough.
Line them up and watch your boy knock them down. They down a couple pieces, shit is lopsided now.
I'm moving my piece, now you're moving your piece.
We on offensive for the homies in the trenches. Don't try to test me, play you like a chess piece. One false move, I promise it's getting deadly.
I'm moving my piece, now you're moving your piece.
We on offensive for the homies in the trenches. Don't try to test me, play you like a chess piece. One false move, I promise it's getting deadly.
Position, knight down, because otherwise checkmate, dramatical drama, and yes, impossible move played.
Bring the real back, we heard when y'all said it, when they talk about us, describe us as authentic, no gimmicks here, the real's how y'all get it, yeah, bring your skills if you want more credit. Real back, we heard when y'all said it. When they talk about us, describe us as authentic. No gimmicks here, the real's how y'all get it. Yeah, bring your skills if you want more credit.
I'm on the war path, the wolf, Chief Cherokee, street food. Cooking up street recipes, so me and the team will feed and eat steadily. I'm here to flip, break rules and beat felonies. Sell you this trip, fool and defeat enemies. Who always get sick when I school, they need therapy. You hating on the brand, all I see is jealousy. You making the story better for when I leave legacy. My slang gutsy, trust me, your man crusty. From what I'm hearing, gang, they can't touch me. My head on a swivel, cause there's lead in his pistol. I'm expecting triple, the game is getting fiddled. In the game, you gonna hear me like the ref.
left in his whistle. Don't mess with this mizzle, you better respect this grizzle. Cause anyone standing in his way is getting crippled. My head is fickle, to cut these corns I get the sickle. Shine time, I blind guys with wild styles. Size nice, he a vibe right, likewise. Wipe eyes tonight, boy, no white lies. I rise, your ego gets crushed, the pride dies. Time flies when I fly high, prime time. I'm at the finish line, looking out, boom, bye bye.
They said bring the rail back, we heard when y'all said it. When they talk about us, describe us as authentic. No gimmicks here, the real's how y'all get it. Yeah, bring your skills if you want more credit. Bring the rail back, we heard when y'all said it. When they talk about us, describe us as authentic. No gimmicks here, the real's how y'all get it. Yeah, bring your skills if you want more credit. Listen, life is a movie, well then I played God, came hard, so beating me is like trying to braid fall, and so I'm slapping you nerves, this kid's messier, I will have a battle with words and dyslexia, this America, Lawrence gets spit, it's heavier, that's why they saw this rip and he bit like a pit terrier, the official replica, this the original Mona Lisa, I wrote a feature so dope that it could clone a speaker, rappers going, it's lies that they tell the booth, they wear the problem lies, and where the problem tells the truth, if they rhymes inspected and it's lies detected, then I'm like LeBron with the suit case and it's time to exit. You guys are desperate for what I love, I'm gonna fight you, but you'll see an opportunity and bend faster than Michael. I see women and many men after the title, but this is just raw hip-hop that I rap and provide. They you said bring the real back, we heard when y'all said it. When they talk about us, describe us as authentic. No gimmicks here, the real's how y'all get it. Yeah, bring your skills if you want more credit. Bring the real back, we heard when y'all said it. When they talk about us, describe us as authentic. No gimmicks here, the real's how y'all get it. Yeah, bring your skills if you want more credit.
Mr. Pocket Jam, yeah. Death D, Mr. Pocket Jam, yeah. Death D, Mr. Pocket Jam. White Jesus on the main line, huh? Black Jesus don't pick up his phone, huh? D&D, you gotta text before you see me, TNT, you better blow me for no freebie, BET, at the deposit been completed, Like a court document, let me hit you with proceedings, I'm known to be weeded, but never reason, huh? The earth, wind, and fire become a reason. I said, a nigga know the shallow, and know the deep end, I'm about to ride the wave, take me to the beach then, okay? My aura is protected, feeling like sheepskin, my hair is bad boy, and that's due to puffy combs. Move me the credit check before you check the microphone. Well known, best gone to run alone. I'm a pimp C with a pocket full of stones. Been riding dirty since before Chameleon. The glass house collapsed when you had to use your arms. My pull all on like Church on Strong. Okay, crew be on the Lucy, so I'm solo with the groovy. Who lit up the doobie? Pass it to me, now I'm loopy. Vertigo like Uzi, falling loosely in some boobies. Man, the rupees make you ooh a lot like Fuji's. Let's see, Elijah Defty. Okay, ready to put the beat on ice like Wayne Gretzky. Slide over the beat and women don't correct me. I guess you niggas do it incorrectly. I said, slide in the bunk, make them give them what you want. Ride with a lump, I'ma spend it how I want. Okay, fire up the skunk, now I'm spending all the funk. Live from jump pumps can get bumped. Yeah, Mr. Wonderland, please just spin another jam. That make me Undertaker like Stone Cold at SummerSlam. Intercontinental, cause the recipe in pencil. Sizzle up your mental, then exfoliate your pimples. Rap that don't make cancel just to make me look suspenseful. My power's activated like two fingers on the temple. Just for who bout to make it hustling because the rent due. I need the chicken like Foo Snickers, hit him with the chip fool. I shoot for middle, little splash nigga off the dribble. She hit me with a riddle, roll it up, I smoke a little. Don't trust the government like the husband of Nancy Gribble. Just wanna make you jiggle like the fat around the gristle. Let's go, Elijah Death though. Watching you with a blackness, this is African soul. Okay, niggas don't be no actors, it's the script that we wrote. Money is class, bitch, I'm taking notes. Slide in the bump, make them give them what you want. Ride with a lump, I'ma spend it how I want. Okay, vibe the skunk, now I'm spending all the funk. Live from jump pumps can get bumped. Slide in the bump, make them give them what you want. Ride with a lump, I'ma spend it how I want. Okay, fire up the skunk, now I'm spending all the funk. Live from jump pumps can get bumped. Yeah, yeah.
indeed. Once again, Fat Man Scoop, a.k.a. Big Colorado, DJ Knuckles on the wheels of steel. We would like to introduce y'all to Fat Man Scoop's Party Breaks Volume 1. The best of old school, the best of R&B, the best of hip-hop. That's how we do it. Fat Man Scoop on the mic, DJ Knuckles on the wheels of steel. Let's keep it going, y'all. Bass drop. You got $100 bill. You got a $50 bill, get your hands up. You got a $20 bill, get your hands up. You got a $10 bill, get your hands up. Single ladies, I can't hear y'all. Single ladies, big noise. Single ladies, I can't hear y'all. Single ladies, big noise. All the chicken heads, be quiet. All the chicken heads, be quiet. All the chicken heads, be quiet. Yeah, baby, Fat Man Scoop, bass, never sing along, come on. All the good looking women sing along. I can't hear y'all.
Train goes off the track. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up.
Let's go. Who fucking tonight? Who fucking tonight? Who fucking tonight? Out, out.